This is a podcast from SBH Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability and tech with me, Rachel Kelly. Now, when it comes to monitoring or measuring a company's sustainability, often we think about the materials used, recycling, and waste management. But supply chains play a critical role when it comes to a company's environmental impact. And to find out more about the future of supply chains and sustainability and supply chain tech and sustainability, we're joined today by Stephanie Krishnan, Research Director at IDC Manufacturing Insights. Stephanie, welcome to The Green Wire.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our absolute pleasure, Stephanie. I mean, we've spoken quite a few times about supply chain, and who better to welcome to the podcast than yourself when we're talking about supply chains and sustainability. Let's start off, because I just want to put things in context for those that are listening to the show. How much of an issue is sustainability when we're looking at supply chains, and how much do supply chains actually contribute to a company's environmental impact? Because it's not necessarily the first thing that we think of when we're looking at sustainability. We may look at recycling and things like that, but talk to us a bit more about supply chain. How much of a factor is that?
One of the things to understand about supply chains is they do actually reach far and wide. So, you know, when you buy something at the shop, you know, it's the end product of a very long journey. And so a manufacturer, for example, will be looking, when it's looking at supply chain, it's looking at its customer's customer and its supplier's supplier, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not just talking about the impact of one company, you're talking about the impact of multiple companies and how, you know, things may start in a mine in Africa but end up in your mobile phone in your hand, right? And so in terms of the impact, it's obviously going to be more than the sum of its parts, right? So the impact of one company is limited to what they can control, but as things pass, you know, from one company to another, then it can become, you know, a greater impact. So, you know, companies need to then coordinate in terms of responding to sustainable requirements and initiatives. Mm-hmm. And the effect that they can have is actually quite substantial. But, you know, there are challenges. So, you know, there's lack of visibility that as a company you have into the activities of your suppliers and customers. And this impacts, you know, your ability to participate in tenders in some case.
Yeah.
You know, companies are now starting to see that they need to have that greater awareness. And so as we go into this, we'll be looking at different areas of particular areas of focus that supply chains have when it comes to sustainability. Transportation is an obvious one that comes to mind, but there's actually a lot more.
Yeah. And Stephanie, there was one, I mean, there were some statistics that really shocked me when I was reading up in the prep for this podcast. And there was one report that stated that the typical consumer company's supply chain creates far greater social and environmental costs than its own operations, accounting for more than 80% of greenhouse gas emissions and more than 90% of the impact on air, land, water, biodiversity, and geographical resources. And that really kind of talks to what you're talking about when you're saying, you know, it's right from the start of the production of or the mining of the product, the creation of the product, and looking at it through the full supply chain. But those numbers are quite staggering, aren't they?
They are. And you know, you look up, you pick up a bottle of water at a shopping center, at a supermarket, and you think, oh, you know, that's a bottle and it's some water. But, you know, there's more water that goes into the production of the plastic of that bottle than actually is in the bottle, right? Mm. And then you think about the transportation. So when we actually transport that water, you know, we put it on ships or we put it on planes, or we shouldn't put it on planes, but we put it on ships and we ship those around the world. And then, you know, what happens if that water expires? Because everything has an expiry date. What happens to it then? You know, it then gets thrown out. And then you've got the impact of the plastic bottle and things like that. So, you know, and that's a very, very relatively simple supply chain. But then you get into computer parts where some parts coming from local source, some coming from international source. They're all coming together and they're assembled. But then before that, they've got to be manufactured. And before that, they've got to be mined. And yeah, it becomes quite significant in terms of the impact.
So what are some of the key areas perhaps we can look at when it comes to those that contribute GHG emissions and those that really have an impact on this natural capital when we're looking at supply chains, when it's the manufacturing, creation and distribution of a product?
Yeah, so for that, we look at, you know, things like decarbonization of the production itself. So, you know, And it could be decarbonisation, or it could be reducing all sorts of energy, water waste, that sort of thing. So what is going into production? You know, can I reduce the amount of water that it takes to produce my textiles, for example? And there are companies that are doing that. There's logistics, and there's logistics internal to the company. So, you know, even, you know, shifting my forklifts from diesel to electric, for example. Then there's looking at supply chains. So how the ecosystem, so where factories are located and where warehouses are located, are actually going to influence how much inventory is going to be stored in there. And then that can be actually a huge contributor to waste, because then you end up with, oh, I have too many, I can't sell them, so I throw the textiles into landfill, for example, which we've seen that in headlines. And then we have the moves between these locations as we reposition the inventory. Every time we move that, it gets on a truck, a boat, a plane, and that involves emissions, right?
Let's move on now to talk about the future of supply chains. And it's really heartening to see that the industry is taking a close look at this and watching this. I mean, for example, IDC, I think it's your 2020 supply chain survey, revealed that sustainability is the number two focus area for risk mitigation in ASEAN supply chains. So what are some of the big moves that you see happening at the moment? What are some of the low-hanging fruit? Because as you've mentioned, there is just such a wide array of issues and areas within the supply chain that can be addressed and can be looked at. So what is the key driver then here? Are we looking at IT as possibly being the first area for those within the supply chain industry to look at when it comes to addressing sustainability and some of these issues that you've mentioned?
So usually one of the first areas is the addressing of waste, right? Mm-hmm. And IT doesn't necessarily, like complicated IT doesn't necessarily, or advanced IT doesn't necessarily have to be the tool that you use here, but it does help, right? So when we're looking at, you know, reduction of waste, it's the simple things from starting to turn off lights, etc. But what we've shown is that organizations that do use advanced technologies and do follow sustainability programs actually end up with greater profit and greater revenue than those that don't. Right. And this is, we've been tracking this since 2015, and we're starting to see a real difference between those that have those sustainability initiatives in place, are able to track those using advanced technologies, and the impact that that's going to have on revenue and profit performance, which is quite interesting. Mm.
What kind of difference though, Stephanie? Is there a quantifiable number that you could put there?
So we're seeing, you know, 20-30% difference, right? So
that's good.
And that's this year, or that's in 2020, and that's growing. All right. So you know, we do it on an index. So, you know, looking at the variability between those index. And so we're seeing, you know, even in the likes of COVID, where, you know, most organizations did lose some money, those that have these capabilities in place are losing less than those that didn't, right? And mm-hmm. we're seeing actually that those that don't have, you know, the technology in place to enable the sort of visibility that they need, they don't have the initiatives in place to reduce the waste where they need to, they're actually suffering more. There are other sides to this, because there are advantages, right? So when you do actually go down the path of the sustainability, there's advantage that you are going to have an improved business image. Now, those that just go down that path are typically labeled as greenwashers, and they don't actually have a lot of substance behind it. So when they're actually able to prove that they have substance behind it, they're going to have reduced risks of non-compliance, because there are companies that are going out to tender and saying, look, in order to supply to me, you need to have sustainability and ethical practices in place. You are going to attract environmentally aware customers. And this is not just consumers, but, you know, other business customers who want to have suppliers that are going to support this initiative. You're going to have improved quality, you're going to have improved productivity, you're going to have reduced costs. And, you know, there is going to be a result of increasing more sustainable products, which will then become normalized.
You're listening to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability and tech, with me, Rachel Kelly. And in this episode, we're speaking to Stephanie Krishnan, Research Director at IDC Manufacturing Insights, about sustainability tech and supply chain. Stephanie, we've spoken about recycling, but what role does tech play here? Because we are on The Green Wire, after all.
There's a lot of technologies that mm-hmm. contribute to this. We don't necessarily just focus on one. And I know, but we have found that, you know, AI and analytics and dashboarding, digital dashboards, and having that sort of business intelligence is really important, because it helps with things like anomaly detection. So, you know, I can detect during a production process whether I'm having poor quality. If I'm having poor quality, that means I'm going to have rejects and they will be wasted. Also being able to have greater efficiency, so I'm able to, you know, produce more for the same amount of energy. And it has a, you know, additional role when we get beyond our company, right? So that's looking at your manufacturing process, but then we take the shipment of goods. You know, shipping goods to people that don't use them, to locations where they aren't needed, is obviously a waste. It incurs extra costs, extra distances traversed, extra activities in maintaining the inventory. You know, you've got to count it, you've got to make sure it isn't damaged. It's bad for business and it's bad for the environment. You know, each shipment is releasing pollutants in the air, but companies can minimize those wasted moves, right? At the moment, if they use traditional methods, it can be challenging to predict what customers will or won't buy. But if you use analytics, you can actually, you know, use AI or the, make use of the data that's available to you to be able to predict demand. So companies can then collect the data. They can collect more than what humans can realistically process. However, AI can. And if that data is then shared across the supply chain, then businesses will be able to predict and are being able to predict demand more accurately. H&M uses AI to predict how much of certain items it will sell in a season, and it adjusts its shipping orders accordingly. And they've been doing this since it founded its AI department in 2018 and now applies it to as many processes as possible. So being able to gather that data from a variety of sources and use it to make reliable forecasts is possible through predictive analytics. And that way companies only ship what customers will buy. And obviously that's going to save, you know, have a greater impact on the environment.
Definitely. And there was another interesting IDC statistic as well. I think it was in your most recent COVID-19 impact survey, and it highlighted that 53% of companies overall are spending between 10 and 30% on sustainable products and services related to IT. And is that really, as you mentioned, these efficiencies then that we're looking at when it comes to AI and analytics?
Yeah, absolutely.
To analyze the supply chain. Okay.
Yeah, so, and then there are a few other areas. Manufacturers and their supply chain partners have not always been some of the most advanced users of technology, but we are seeing, especially over the last 18 months or the last 12 months with COVID and slightly before that, that this is picking up. And so organizations are spending on things like ERP, so that they can get an overall vision of the organization, but also have a single point of truth where they can see, where they can link to others for full supply chain visibility. Another area which has been quite interesting is around process and decision automation. So this is using things like robotic process automation or intelligent process automation, which is software automation. And these are being used to automate the reconciliation of information between multiple systems, but also being able to automate decisions. So, you know, if there is a glut of inventory in one particular place, then I can, you know, cancel orders or put off orders, and balance my supply chain so that there is actually less waste. So yeah, there are organized, you know, a myriad of technologies, right? So there's autonomous vehicles, 3D manufacturing, robotics, drones, blockchain, renewable energy, artificial intelligence we've talked about. But the fact that manufacturers are focused on ERP and data indicates that there are some fundamental requirements that need to be laid in order for them to succeed at the more advanced projects.
And just as you mentioned, requirements for them to succeed, what are some of the challenges in implementing this technology? Is it a standardization globally, oversight, regulation? What are some of the issues when it comes to looking at tech for sustainability within supply chain?
So if we start with the companies themselves, companies need to build that foundation. So having a data foundation, being able to articulate, you know, where the stresses are and where there are opportunities to save, right? And in order to do that, they need to share that information. So talking to each other, and organizations tend to be, sometimes reluctant to share data, but that is what is going to be necessary in order to make sure that they're able to build up capabilities. Then we talk about, you know, you talked about the standards. It's starting to come through with organizations needing to implement robust procurement standards and supply codes of conduct with sustainability concerns. And this is coming as it's being specified into tender documents, into, you know, the need to, you know, the way that companies buy, they actually want to buy from companies that can prove that they do this. So then it comes back to that standards. How do you prove it? Now, this has been building for a while. The UN put out, you know, quite a while ago, the UN Global Compact with its 10 principles and also the 17, you know, sustainable development goals,
SDGs,
which we do see companies like, you know, H&M, Unilever, etc., reporting on how they're doing in supporting this. But it's now becoming more fundamental. So you're having global reporting frameworks. So the GRI, the Global Reporting Initiative, has a way to report sustainable and ethical practices alongside the financial results. Mm. And stock exchanges are starting to require it. So SGX has a sustainability reporting guideline, which, while not mandatory at the moment, you know, the potential is there for that to happen. So you know, companies are starting to build that foundation. They're requiring of it each other, and now governments are starting to require it. So, you know, it is coming.
And taking a look into your sustainability tech supply chain crystal ball, Stephanie, what are some of the key trends that you see rolling out in the next 5 years, especially, I guess, on the back of COVID-19, because that's really accelerated a lot of these trends as well?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the AI and analytics is going to continue. We're seeing, you know, a lot of AI and optimization startups continue down that route. And a lot of it is around transportation data insights and inventory data insights. Visibility and traceability. Rachel, you mentioned COVID, but, you know, that's obviously pushed supply chain visibility as you know, we talked about disruptions before. Mm-hmm. But also being able to trace. So where do things come from? Are there unethical practices being applied? Where are goods going after they've been consumed or not consumed? And there's some interesting GPS and tracing technologies being used here around geofencing and the like, but also just around, you know, information traceability. And of course, the sustainability reporting systems that support this. We're seeing financial companies being actually pressured. So HSBC has been pressured by its stakeholders to put together, you know, sustainable financing and look into sustainable financing when it comes to things. OCBC is doing green loans. So some interesting things there that are actually going to spur these practices. But, you know, in terms of tech as well, there's a lot of attention on last mile delivery. So looking at e-commerce. So e-commerce, there's a lot of talk about it not being very sustainable, you know, because there is a lot of reliance in transportation and it being very inefficient. We've seen shortages of things like cardboard in the UK because normally all the cardboard would be collected from retailers who would then recycle it. Now, because that step is missing, we're actually missing out a key part of recycling, we're missing out a key part of the supply chain. So there is being a lot of attention on last mile delivery and alternate ways of doing it. So looking at, I think we've got down the road from where I live, I bumped into the car park where there was Easy Buy and there was a truck that basically everybody came to the truck instead of going to different ways. And so there's a lot of look into how we can actually make things more efficient and less reliant on transportation being delivered to everyone. And that takes us down the route of, you know, electronic vehicles, drones, and those sort of delivery capabilities that are happening as well. So I think we'll see a lot more exploration into that.
How far do you think that's off, Stephanie? Or how far into the future do you think it could be until we start to see drones conducting delivery?
It depends where. So China tends to be quite progressive around this. And I do think that that's where we'll see a lot of the exploration around that, because they do have a different approach from a legislative requirement around drones. I think probably what is going to be more realistic is the EV or small EVs. So looking at electronic vehicles or you know, little robots that are running around on the ground is probably going to happen before we go to drones. But, you know, the Singapore government, for example, is quite progressive in the way that it looks at this. But I think it's being explored everywhere because there is an opportunity to reach environments which you typically would not be able to reach using the traditional model and being able to scale it. So I think over the next, 3 to 5 years, we're going to see some interesting developments here.
Wonderful. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today on The Green Wire.
Thank you very much, Rachel. It's been a pleasure.
We've been speaking with Stephanie Krishnan, Research Director at IDC Manufacturing Insights, and you can find out more about sustainability and supply chain at this year's Logisim Asia Pacific Conference that's taking place from the 19th to the 20th of May. Check it out online. You've been listening to The Green Wire with me, Rachel Kelly.
The Green Wire is a production of SPH Radio. It's hosted and produced by Rachel Kelly from Money FM 89.3. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, and streaming on Google Home. And if you have feedback for us, send it to sphradio@sph.com.sg.